This is a recording made at the funeral of Brother Austin Sparks on the 19th of April, 1971. We apologize for the noise on the tape. After the service, the recorder was taken to the graveside. We are sorry that the tape ran out just before the end of the prayer. This was followed with the singing of the chorus, "Living, He Loved Me."
sons-in-law, daughter-in-law, grandchildren. Our great appreciation and thanks to God for our brother, Mr. Austin Spock, and for the long life of fruitful ministry which he had by the grace of God. It is some 47 years since I first met and heard him speak. It was in an Overcomer meeting in Eggleston Hall. While I am not able to repeat to you the whole of the message, I can assure you, characteristically, it was one stressing the battle and the conflict of the Christian life, attending with the verse which I now read from 2 Peter chapter 1, that the victory to be expressed in an entrance being ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is for those who have obtained and made use of those exceeding great and precious promises. I think he would have been surprised to know that he had to wait 47 years for his abundant entrance. I know that he never reckoned to go much beyond 50, but the Lord is always so much better than what we think. And so by the infinite grace of God, came up to April the 13th of this year, and then the moment for his abundant entry. We thank God that we know where he is, and we know that we're going to see him again. Now, Brother Spock was not a writer. You may be surprised to hear that, but he wasn't. He had many books under his name, and for very many years the magazine went up. But they were all an expression of his gift as a preacher. And those messages came hot from his heart, from his experience, his prayer, his traffic. And if you run your eyes down the list of the books, which you may easily do, if you wish to, I think you will have an excellent idea of the driving force, the overwhelming heart and vision of the brother whose body today we shall lay to rest. I think first on that list I would put one of the very old ones, the centrality and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Almost here I think I can hear it saying. Christ as the Lord. In his early teens, he yielded to the Lordship of Christ. But there came later on, as he was in the ministry of the Word of God, a time when life was so abrupt and had come to such a pass that he felt he needed something altogether new. And he got it. You always get it if you're in a what he got was an altogether new revelation of the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ. That Christ is indeed central, not only to the individual believer's life, not only to the church, but to the whole universe. This then became his great theme, the centrality of Christ. This had his heart. This was his purpose, to see more of Christ and to make that Christ known to others that they might see more of him. I'm sure that there are many of us here in this hall who could point back to some particular occasion, a meeting, a conference, here present, or in many places. And you would say, I was never the same after I heard that message on whatever it was. got them all together, trying to decide what it was we're trying to be the same. I found a new Christ. I have fallen half on the Christ. So that's the first thing that we must say to the glory of God. Christ, central and supreme. The world would not consider Brother Sparks' life to have been a success. I'm not sure that many in the Christian world would consider it to have been a success. I feel fairly sure that he himself did not feel it had been a success. But if it is success, spiritual success, achievement, to have been able to communicate something more of the wonder and the glory and the power and the purpose of Christ, then there's hardly a person here in this room today who will not stand up and attest to the fact that his life is a success. That's what he set out to do. We give glory to God. The measure in which we ourselves have entered into that blessing. But we must remember, occasionally, to try to persuade him that there are great numbers with whom there is no outward contact. Some who would know the name, some who might not even do that. A great number of people scattered in this world who will be found when the eternal reckonings are made in the day of our Lord Jesus. But through speaking, through the writing, through the labor, through the suffering of Brother Sparks, they come into a new and deeper knowledge of Christ. None of us could wish for any more than that. Would God that it might be true. The eyes of each one of us here. But I must remind you of the next one, very similar to it. I'm not sure that it's even in print now, but it's very important. The centrality of the cross. That's right, Father. Everything is by the cross. And how wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus, by the blood of his cross, has provided for our every need. Those many years ago, we used to sing from Alexander the Great. Every now and again, there was a favorite hymn. When I first came into this place, the favorite hymn was, "Nor silver nor gold has obtained my redemption." The blood of this cross is my only foundation. How we used to sing. How we must keep on singing. But that's the song he's singing now. And the song we shall sing through all eternity. From that gratitude, the power of the blood of Christ, to give forgiveness, to give life, to give victory, he never swerved through all his years, never for one moment did he move from this ground. Everything that God has to give us through Christ comes by the way of Christ. I would like to record in our little smaller family meetings here on the Lord's Day. I'm fairly sure that I'm right in saying that a lot public utterance we heard from Brother Sparks was when the brother leaving the Lord's table, having given an invitation to somebody, any brother, to give thanks for the loaf that some brother had heard of him. He then said, "Will a brother give thanks for the cup?" And the Brother Sparks spontaneously, not as a future, not even a deal, but as a fellow believer. Yes, a fellow sinner. Let us, in fact, give it to God for the blood of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one be present at this meeting without being reminded that there is no satisfaction or not. That's not. No other place where they can be discovered than at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today would be a wonderful, crowning day if some price of their sin that our brother is taken farewell. Next, in touch with the throne, I must speak of this matter of prayer. For this surely was one of the great matters which held and gripped our brother from first to last. The importance, the value, the possibility that had come by prayer in the name of Jesus. He not only talked about it, but he thanked it. To the last, when he was lying, not much in touch with this world, we weren't quite sure how conscious he was at all. I can testify to the fact that I never prayed without seeing those lips move in an amen. In a world which has become increasingly unreal, prayer is one of the most real things. He was real. He remembered in prayer, as he certainly was. But he also prayed. And much that has happened through the years, through him, through others, associated and attributed to him, or not. Doesn't matter. Wouldn't matter. Much of it is really the fruit of his prayer. Many of us here have reason to thank God for answered prayer in our needs and circumstances. He prayed for something, and those prayers perhaps have not yet been answered. But they will be. His lips may be silent, but the throne is still there, and he was in touch with the throne. And we look for full answer to all those prayers given to our Lord on his throne of grace. Sometimes with much difficulty. One of the great points which our brother was led to stress and drift in to explain was that there's a warfare, a prayer warfare, but always with the word warfare, we associate the word victory, or if he's taken there is victory. Now, one more, the power of his resurrection. Sometimes, when Christians die, it is said of them concerning the date on which they died, so and so, entered into life. If I said that Brother Scott entered into life on April the 13th, 1970, even when I got the head, you know, he'd say, no, brother, I've always stood for resurrection. I knew resurrection life when first I came to the Christmas Savior. I proved resurrection life through many deaths. And it's true, we never were quite sure whether our brother would have been back again, even to the last, because through the years we've had so many surprises. Not to his credit, but to the credit of his risen Lord. Through many a death, he came to many an experience of new life, the power of his resurrection. And may I say, the glory of God, that I firmly believe that 1970 was a peak year for Brother Scott. Certainly, those who were in Switzerland at the Dunderfingen Conference all testify that this was the best of all. Just like the Lord, to give him the best. It was arresting somebody off. And apart, I wondered whether it was he who was 80 or I. And so the Lord sustained me about that. In this context, for the fellowship and for the ministry of that happy time. Good to finish up with a note of real strength. But that's what we would expect, did we not? One who had such implicit confidence in the power of the resurrection. Christ, our life. Christ is his life. Was his life? Is his life. Which brings me to the last few tweets, which are not always easy. And we give glory to God for many mercies through those difficult days. And some of us wonder, perhaps, and I think he did, why he lingered so long. I'm not sure that I know why, but I know where he went. See, we've always had big new departures and special times of God's blessing at Easter. Through the year, Easter has always been a special time. And many a time, on the last meeting of the Easter conference, Easter Monday, we gathered around the Lord's table. Brother Sparks would give a good long message when he wanted to, but on those occasions he was always. And the Romans always finish up on the great note of the coming Lord. Don't you remember how heaven came down? Glory filled our souls as we sang so heartily, blessed hope, blessed hope, blessed hope of the coming of the Lord. It's just as though he waited for that. Well, whether that be so or not, we praise God that though there is much that we do not know about this present change of his life, we do know that he is enjoying the satisfying presence of the Lord. And a well-deserved rest. And we do know also that soon, we believe very soon, will come the day of reunion. Blessed God. A word from the one who all our hearts and ears. A parting word to make him either dearest. Of all his precious words, the sweetest, brightest, clearest, is the hope of the coming Lord. So, as we're going to lay to rest the body of our dear brother, our thoughts are not to the past, though there are some sweet thoughts in the past, but to the future and to the great day of reunion. I seem to hear a voice. Not yet. We shall never hear that in this hall again. But the voice of the Lord coming down to us here at this moment and saying, behold, I come quickly. Will you say with me, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We thank thee once again, O our God, for these great realities which our brother so believed, so affirmed, so fought for, and so valiantly proclaimed. The supremacy, the centrality. unto himself the soul of our beloved brother, dear departed. We now commit his body to the ground, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who shall change the body of our humiliation, that it may be like unto the body of his glory, according to the power whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Shall we pray? Our gracious God, we thank thee that all thy ways are right. Indeed, they are perfect. And we thank thee that for so many years thou didst lead thy servant in thine own right way. For mercies granted to him, we praise the Lord. For sustaining grace, for overruling providence, for the daily, hourly assurance of thy presence. For all the parts, a rich part, a fruitful part, for it all we thank the name of the Lord, and over it we write, as for God, his way is perfect, and this his servant would add, he made my way perfect. We praise thee that we are gathered here to rejoice in the fact of our brother being in thy presence. We have read of the end of these troublesome things of our poor world. There'll be no more pain. Thank God, brother Sparks will have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more nights, only blessings, only eternal enjoyment of serving the Lord and seeing his face. Oh, how we praise thee. For, Lord, we feel the challenge of eternity. Oh, how we praise thee. For, Lord, we feel the challenge of eternity coming to our own hearts. As we stand around this open graveside, we are made to remember how frail we are, the fewness of our days, the nearness of eternity for each one of us. And our prayer would be, O Lord, that thou wouldst lead us in thine everlasting way, saving us from ways of grief and leading us up to that glorious holy city of thine, where all is light and all is love. We commend to thee our mourning friends. Thou hast said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And while we thank God for the comfort and help until now, we pray for the days that lie ahead, that goodness and mercy shall follow and surround them also all the days of their life. And we thank God that they and our brother, and our dear ones who've gone before, and we here by thy grace can say, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
The memorial service for our brother Austin Sparks was held on Saturday the 1st of May, and a large number of people from throughout Great Britain and the continent were present.